Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we bless you and praise you today. We just love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Father, we just thank you for your hand upon this country. And we thank you for your hand upon your people all over the world, Father. And I just thank you for how you're manifesting Jesus to the Middle East. Lord, I just give you praise and give you honor. We thank you for the revelation of Jesus all over this world. We thank you for the revelation of Jesus in this city and in this nation. And we lift up these elections that are coming up. Father, we thank you that your word declares that the hand of the king, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. You raise up and you bring down, and we just thank you, Lord, that in this election coming up, those that have a heart to hear you will be maintained in places of authority in our city and in our nation. We just thank you for that. Father, we thank you for righteousness to be established in this country. No matter what those in the world declare is righteous and what is not, we thank you that your righteousness will be established in this nation. And we thank you, Lord, that you cover over the nation of Israel, and that you cause righteous men and women to be in places of authority in that nation, that you protect that, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you, no matter what the railings and what the accusations and all those things are, we thank you, Lord, that you've declared some things about the nation of Israel. And we thank you, Lord, that those things will come to pass and they will be fulfilled. And we just praise you and bless you for that. We thank you for the peace of Jerusalem, Father. You declared that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so we do that. And we thank you that your protection is over those people and over the nation, over the city of Jerusalem. And we thank you for that, Lord. That you'll raise up people in authority here and open the eyes of the understanding of the ones that we have in places of authority, that they'll understand our relationship with that nation. And we just thank you and praise you for that, Lord. That you establish peace and protection over them. And we just praise you and bless you. And all those that agree with that prayer said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, are you all ready to receive the word this morning? We started a few weeks ago, we started a series on the kingdom of God. And just go over to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. Psalms 145, look at, it says this, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name when I feel like it. Oh, that doesn't say that? I'm sorry. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Not just on Sundays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation will praise your works to another. That means they have to actually see them. Yep. Right? Isn't it interesting how we reduce all this stuff to theoretical? It's not theoretical. If we're going to praise his works from one generation to another, then we have to be seeing them. And I'm not talking about the trees that are growing in my backyard either. Sometimes we try to make everything all natural. But folks, God's not a natural God. He's a supernatural God. Amen? Amen. If we have an issue with the supernatural, then we need to check our hearts, because you're probably grounded a little too much in the natural. He said, "Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation will praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate." There it is again. "Men will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness." You know, sometimes I wonder, is David talking about the same thing that we grew up with? Because he seems like he's talking about a whole bunch of awesome acts and mighty works and power and things like that that when I was a kid, they told me that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? So he talks about, "Men will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I'll tell of your greatness, and the memory of your abundant goodness will shout joyfully of your righteousness." And look at verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness." Everybody say, "The Lord is great in loving kindness."
The Lord is great in loving kindness.
He's great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all. Notice it says all there, not some. His mercies are over all of his works. Verse 11, "They'll speak," speaking of your godly ones in the previous verse, "of the glory of your" what? Now, is that in the sweet by and by when we're all gone? Can I ask what the point of that would be?
Yeah.
So it must not be in the sweet by and by. It must be like here in the city that we live in the place that we work, everywhere we go, in the here and now, right? And he says, "We'll speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty..." Scriptures? Is that what it says? Acts. His mighty acts. We're back on the acts. "And the glory of the majesty of your kingdom." Your kingdom. How many times have we seen that word in the last three verses? "Is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endures throughout all generations after Jesus comes back." Is that what it says? No. Generations which are here now. This is speaking of a time period that we're in right now, folks. We're supposed to be declaring the kingdom of God. Jesus came into the earth. What did he say? He says the kingdom of God is here. And here's the challenge. When we read Old Testament scriptures and we look at what they're saying and what they're wording, we have a tendency to interpret them theologically according to what's been passed down to us. And we always relegate them to later on, after we're all out of here and, you know, the new millennium and all those kinds of things. The challenge with that is, Holy Spirit brought the kingdom now. Did you hear what I just said? You know, we may look at some verses today, if I get to them, that they've always kind of been relegated to, and this whole thing is over with, and the New Jerusalem and those kinds of things. But the challenge with that is just like you interpret scriptures that talk about, you know, that speak about an individual that will rise up and he'll speak boastful things and blasphemous things we always seem to interpret that like that's the Antichrist, but there was actually a man that did that rose up. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he was a lot of these scriptures are in the Old Testament. They speak about him because they came in a time period that was after that of Daniel, after the Persian Empire, after the Babylonian Empire, and on some of those scriptures they speak of him. Now there is a parallel to the way the Antichrist will conduct himself. But just like there's a twofold meaning, if you could say that, about those scriptures, there's also a twofold meaning when it comes to when the Lord speaks about the kingdom of God. And in that day, in the book of Isaiah, go over there real quick. I mean, I could take you, if we had time, I could take you through the entire book of Isaiah and show you scriptures that we could interpret as the time period when Jesus comes back. And that's traditionally how they've been interpreted. But understand this. How many know when the Holy Spirit was given to us, He gave us the kingdom now? Right? It's not in the sweet by and by. It's not when Jesus comes back. That those things surely will take place. But you have to understand this. Even the things that He's speaking about concerning the New Jerusalem and His people being brought back those things have prophetically been going on for some time when the nation was reestablished as a nation in the earth. And some of the things that He talks about as far as the quote new millennium and those kinds of things, Paul brings out in the writings that we are still dealing with an issue of a human being a new creation. Do you understand that? You can't relegate and not understand that whatever we talk about in the future that has to do with Jesus and Jesus being among His people, those people have to be new creations. We do understand that, right? I said we do understand that, right? They have to be new creations. They're not just regular old people standing around. It's just because they have a nationality that's Jewish. You know, ain't we blessed? And the whole thing. Paul brought up the fact that, look, it's not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It is about the new creation. So we can't forget that if you strip away all the tags and all the labels and all the nationalities, the bottom line is a human being either has to be a new creation or they're just a natural man. You're not going to associate forever with Jesus if you're just a natural human being. You're going to associate with Jesus because you're a new creation. Ethnicity or otherwise. Nationality or otherwise, right? So we need to understand that when we read these scriptures in the Old Testament that prophetically talk about, you know, the people of the Lord and those kinds of things. Yes, they may be Jewish in nationality, but they also have to be new creations. And I love what Paul says. He said, not all Israel is Israel. He said, but the remnant that is will be saved. Aren't you? That's pretty matter of fact there, isn't it? So we understand that any human being that we're dealing with in prophetic Old Testament writings, if it is a time period that is, you would say, when Jesus comes back and establishes the New Jerusalem, those kinds of things, those people, they are going to be new creations. They are going to have the same nature as Him. That's the way He can be among them and abide among them, right? We need not forget that. Sometimes those lines get blurred and we start thinking about natural nationalities and He's talking about new creations. They will be Jewish in nationality, but as far as their nature goes, they will claim Jesus as Lord and they will be a new creation. Okay? So, in the book of Isaiah, so I said all that to say this. There are things that you will read in the prophetic writings, in Isaiah, Ezekiel, that if we're not mindful, we'll just relegate them to the very end of days and, you know, when Jesus comes back. But the reality is when Jesus showed up, everything changed. Okay? I know I said, well, I told you Isaiah, right? Go over to, we'll come back to Isaiah. Let me show you this verse. I'm just getting your pages unstuck, okay? Let me find that for you, and we'll just go over there. Okay. could even be in Daniel. In fact, it is over in Daniel. Daniel was given insight into the kingdoms that were in power when he was under Babylonian rule, Persian rule, and he was given insight into the kingdoms that would come after that, the rule of Alexander the Great, and then the rule of the Roman Empire. And if you'll notice in the book of Daniel, all of these visions that he interprets, or things that he's shown, they all are dealing with the same kingdoms, just in different formats. You know, once he's talking about a statue, and then in the statue there's different parts of the statue that are made of different things. The head is gold and silver, and then go on down, and then you're dealing with iron and then iron and clay, and each of those is representative of a kingdom, a natural kingdom. Everybody say a natural kingdom. Talking everything from the Persian, the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, the Persian Empire, and then the Greeks, Alexander the Great, and then the Romans. Okay, all of those were natural kingdoms. Now, he says some things here in chapter 7. He says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, this individual is after Nebuchadnezzar, and there are folks that say that this is not really his son. This is actually his grandson. He wasn't really the king. He was over, his responsibility was the kingdom, but he wasn't the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the grandson. Whether it is true or not, that's really irrelevant, but anyway, he goes on, and he has vision. He said Daniel saw a dream and a vision in his mind. And it talks about four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, the four great beasts, and each of those beasts is a kingdom, just like the statue. And then he goes on down, and he says in verse 9, he says, I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. And his vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head was pure as wool. Now let's notice this. His throne was ablaze with flames. Everybody say flames. Its wheels were a burning fire, and there was a river of fire that was flowing and coming out before him. That's quite a vision of the throne of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, there was the clouds of heaven, like one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days. I wonder who that like a son of man was. Can you say Jesus? Like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the people, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And then you go down to, I'll just read down 15 there. It says, as for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me, and I approached one of those who was standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. Verse 18. But the saints of the highest one will, what does it say? Receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, for all ages to come. Is that when we're gone? Is that like in the sweet by and by when Jesus comes back and the whole thing's over with? And Is that what that's talking about? It has an application of that, yeah, but understand something. When Jesus came into the earth, what did he say? He didn't say the kingdom of God is coming. He said the kingdom of God is here. Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, you have to understand this. Everything that was supposed to be for then, he gave it to us now. Understand that. Everything that was supposed to be for then, he gave it to us now. Does that mean that then's not going to take place? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit is a down payment, and he gave us all that belongs to Father, and everything that Father had planned, he gave it to us now. When Jesus came into the earth, he didn't preach about something that was in the sweet by and by coming later on. He said it's now. The kingdom is now. Now faith is evidence of things not seen. Everything is now. Because when we read these scriptures, and do they apply to the end time? A lot of them do, yeah, but they do not only apply to that. Because we're talking about natural kingdoms in the earth, right? He's showing things from the perspective of eternity, where there is no time. And he's showing it to Daniel, who is in time. So, when he's speaking about these nations that will rise up, we already know who they are. They're the Babylonian Empire. He was under the rule of one when he had this vision. We know about the Persian Empire. That came later. And he had the same kinds of visions under the Persian ruler. And he saw some of the similar things in a different way. And he learned about the ruler of Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire, and the impact that was going to have on the world. And then he got a glimpse of the Roman Empire. And the way the Roman Empire was described was more vicious and brutal than any of the other empires. So it says in verse 18, it says, the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. Now, go down to verse 21. I kept looking, and that horn, speaking of one particular ruler, was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints. If we're not mindful of New Testament reality, here's how we'll read this. And it certainly does apply, so don't think I'm saying it doesn't say this. But how we'll read this is from the standpoint of traditional theology that's all relegating this to the end time. The books are open, as in Revelations it says that, and the books are opened, and, you know, it talks about the end times. But I want to submit to you that that's not only what it's talking about here. Because I want to submit to you that judgment was already passed long before this whole thing is over with and the great white throne is there and everybody's standing in front of the great white throne. Would you agree with me on that or not? You better, because Jesus said in John 16:11, the prince of this world has been judged. Past tense, it's a done deal. The prince of this world has been judged. He hadn't gone to the cross yet, but understand, everything was done before the foundation of the world. So we can read some of these things and understand that Holy Spirit took some of these things and he made them now, because Jesus was walking in the reality of these things. Verse 26, the court will sit for judgment and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all of the dominion will serve and obey him. Does it apply to the very end of the day? Yes, but it also applies to now. If it doesn't, then there is no such thing as the teaching of the authority of the believer, which traditional Christianity doesn't acknowledge anyway. But why should we take all of our information from them? Jesus changed everything. The kingdom wasn't coming. The kingdom is here now. The authority is here now. What do they say about Jesus? Man, the things he does, he teaches and he does things like a guy with authority. So understand, you know, these things that Daniel is being shown, Daniel did not know anything about anything called a church. Do you understand that? He didn't know anything about that. Because he was being shown these things from the perspective of his own people. And the impact of the future on his own people. He was even told that a number of times in these writings. I'm going to show you things that pertain to the holy people, your people. Okay? So he didn't understand anything about the church. I mean, my gosh, the disciples didn't even understand anything about the church. I mean, what did they say to Jesus, you know, before he went up to meet the Father? They said, hey, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this point? This is what comes next, right? And he said, no, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. But he said, you're going to go to Jerusalem. You're going to be endued with power. The Holy Spirit coming upon you. Why? Because the saints were given a kingdom. Jesus came into the earth and said, the kingdom of God is here now. He said, before he left, he said, the same way Father sent me, I'm sending you. What did he tell the disciples? Do you honestly think that all that training, the 3.5 years, remember before he went to the cross, he'd send his disciples out, and what would he tell them? He'd say, okay, go ahead of me in the cities ahead of me, and go there and anoint with oil, raise the dead, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God is here. Do you think that completely changed after he left? Okay, I know you had all that practice, but we're not doing that anymore. We're doing something else. No, he was training them then for what they're going to do after he left. Except for after he left, they're going to be endued with power permanently. Because they're going to be new creations. A Spirit of God in them and a Spirit of God upon them. But their message didn't change. How they conducted themselves didn't change. It was still the execution of the kingdom in the earth. Right? Can you see that? Now, Paul made this statement. You remember over there, and let's go over there to. I got so many different directions I could go. We're going to go the direction I believe the Lord wants to go this morning. 2 Corinthians 5. Here's a scripture that we violate daily. That's a shock, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5, verse. Let's go look at verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Everybody say controls us. Having concluded this, that was a statement of fact, it's a done deal, the minds are made up, it's not enough for debate. That's the way it is in the Greek New Testament. Having concluded this, that one died for all, speaking of Jesus, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Verse 16, therefore what? Therefore, in line with what I just said. From now on, everybody say from now on. Well, if it was from now on when he said it, then surely it's from now on from where we're sitting. Right? From now on, we recognize no one. Everybody say no one. That means Auntie M, Granny, Uncle Frank, any of them, yourself. Recognize no one according to the flesh. In other words, don't see people after their natural man. And then look what it says here. This is what we violate every day. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now, everybody say now. Now would be after the resurrection, right? Now we know him. We know him in this way no longer. Every single person that's a Christian, I guarantee you, violates that scripture. Because when we think of Jesus, what do? We go straight to the Gospels. We think of Jesus as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we view him. The problem is, it's not him anymore. You want to know how we should base our perspective? What we should base our perspective on? How many want to know? Okay. Go over to Ezekiel. Because when you base your perspective on this guy, things change. Ezekiel. Remember how Daniel described the throne? There was rivers of fire flowing out of it. And we said this, that the reason why in that, those verses in Daniel that showed fire flowing out of, from the throne, is because that was in the context and the setting of everything that was against that kingdom and against that dominion. You know, we've always sang about his consuming fire, his all-consuming fire. Okay? So everything that's against the kingdom of God, that stands in opposition to the kingdom of God, they're met with fire flowing out from the throne. All-consuming fire. But yeah, you go to Revelation 22 and it talks about, from people's standpoint, that there's the throne, same throne, but instead of rivers of fire that are flowing out of it, there's rivers of living water that flow from it. And from those rivers of water, it says alongside those rivers, there's tree of life, and the leaves are for the healing of the ethnicity groups. There's fruit on those trees. Every month there's fruit. In other words, there's never a time when God isn't interested in healing human beings. But those things come from the life of God that flows from the throne of God. Okay? It's only if you're against the kingdom of God. Jesus said, those that are not against us are for us. Did you hear what I just said? You have to be actively against the kingdom. And you get fire. There are a lot of folks, see, the problem with the church is it has viewed, if you're not one of me, then you're against me. And that, unfortunately, that's too bad, because Jesus said, look, if they're not against us, they're for us. Do you understand there's a difference between being neutral, being ignorant, not knowing anything, and being actively against somebody? Right? We ought not treat the two the same, because they're not the same. In fact, we ought to just believe the best of everybody and believe everybody that's there for us. And minister to them accordingly. They have to make the choice whether they're going to step it up and be actively against us. Okay, but what did I say to go? Ezekiel? So Ezekiel, they're in captivity at this point. And Ezekiel's just kind of hanging out by a river. And all of a sudden, he says, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. That's in chapter 1, verse 1. The heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. And then he goes on to say, now, over the heads of the living beings, because he said he saw a bunch of living beings, and he said, but just over their head, he said, I saw in verse 23, under the expanse of their wings were stretched out straight and toward the one towards the other. Each one had also had two wings covering its body and the one side from the other. And he said in verse 24, I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Verse 25. And there came a voice from above the expanse. And the expanse, if you notice in verse 22, it says there was an expanse like the awesome gleam of crystal spread out over their heads. Now we're looking at the throne, guys. And Ezekiel described it as the man says like crystal. It's just like crystal. And then, down in verse 26 again, it says, now above the expanse there, over their heads, there was something resembling a throne. So we're looking at that same area that Daniel spoke about. And he says, a throne like lapis lazuli, which is in reference to sapphire, in color, in appearance. And on that which resembled a throne high up was a figure with the appearance of a what? A man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Everybody say the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice speaking. Who do you suppose this person was? The second member of the Godhead. The second member of the Godhead, which is the Son, right? Look at chapter 8. Keep in mind, this is before he, obviously, when he came into the earth, took on the form of man, laid aside relying on his deity, and began to be led by the Spirit of God in and upon him, like new creation man was supposed to be, or the way man was created to function in the first place. Okay? But in chapter 8, he says again, it was about the sixth year on the fifth day of the sixth month, and I was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah sitting around me, and the hand of the Lord God fell on me there. And he said in verse 2, then I looked, and behold, a likeness as the appearance of a man. From his loins and downward there was the appearance of fire, and from his loins and upward the appearance of brightness, for the appearance of glowing metal. Who is this? Second member of the Godhead, the Son. Right? Well, that's just Old Testament. I'm glad you said that. Go to Revelations. Revelations. The revolution of John. Now, Revelation. This really is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John. Okay, now John actually was on an island called Patmos. He actually was. He was like the first Alcatraz. Okay. And one day he's out there busting rocks or whatever he's doing. And all the worst of the worst criminals were sent there. And one day he's doing what he always does. He says in verse 9, he says, I, John, your brother. Now let me ask you, was this New Testament? So he wasn't having an Old Testament flashback, right? This New Testament. This is after Jesus was resurrected, right? He says, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker of the tribulation and the kingdom and the perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpeter. Wouldn't that be he's out there doing his thing, you know, what everybody else is doing, and all of a sudden the veil that separated the seen and the unseen is not there. Hello. And he hears a voice, he turns around, and there's his best friend. How many know John knew what Jesus looked like when he hung around him, right? He wore the little gown and he had little custom sandals. But is that the way he describes him here? Well, let's just see. The voice, he said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the middle of the lampstands I saw one like the, who? Son of Man, clothed in a robe reached to the feet and girded with his chest with a golden sash, his head and his hair were white like the white wool like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. This doesn't sound like the Jesus that was in the earth. His eyes were like the flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. This sounds an awful lot like the same person that appeared to Ezekiel when Ezekiel was in captivity. Do you think it's the same person? Absolutely. This is absolutely the same person, and he looks exactly the same. He said, well, that's pretty neat. Okay, now go over to John chapter 17. John 17. So, the person, the second member of the Godhead, now we call him Jesus because he came into the earth and he resurrected as a man. And so this individual that we see that John, that appeared to John, is Jesus. But if you read in Ezekiel, it's exactly the same person that appeared to him. Because he's been from eternity past. He's always existed. And the dominion of the kingdom has always been his. Right? The thing about it is see, he came into the earth. He already had the dominion of the kingdom in the eternal realm. But he came into the earth because the dominion that was man's, that was given to man, that was supposed to be in sync with the dominion that was in heaven, was sold. So now heaven and earth are out of sync. So he had to come in as a man to get that back. And to sync heaven and earth up again with each other. With the same system, the same authority, the same power of his kingdom. After he's resurrected, what did he say? He said, all power and authority has been given to me. If you're into wrestling, he held the belts for both titles. Unified the titles once again. Notice what he said. Now you saw what he looked like in Ezekiel, right? And Ezekiel said that was the glory of the Lord. Do you remember that? You saw what he looked like in Revelations. Why did he look like that for? Well, John 17, what did Jesus pray to the Father? He said, Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, see, now he's talking to Father. The hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh. Even as you gave him authority, everybody agree with that. Yes, Jesus has authority over all flesh. Right? You give him authority over all flesh, so that all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you. We know that word know means to know and understand, have interaction with, personal involvement with. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Verse 4. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you've given to me to do. Now, Father, here's verse 5. How did he get to look the way he did in Revelations? Right here. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Is that not what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 8? But John saw the same thing in Revelations. So Father did that, right? Isn't that nice? But we're not done reading yet. Same prayer, Same context, same everything. Look at verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, and I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected or brought to completion in unity, us with them, them with us, so that the world may know that you sent me. What do you think that glory looks like? What glory is he talking about? He's talking about the exact same glory that Ezekiel saw and that he appeared to John on the Isle of in Revelations. He said, Father, the glory you've given me, the one I just prayed for that you restore back to me that I had before you, with you before the foundation of the world, that glory I want you to give to them. Now I'm going to ask you a question. And I hope this burns in your mind forever. The ministry of Jesus on the earth was awesome. He demonstrated how a man functions under the leading of the Spirit of God. But that was so man understands what he was created to be, how he was created to function, how he was created to be connected with Father, and how the two were supposed to flow together, and what that looked like, the way man was created to exist. That was what that was for. It was demonstration time. He had to train the disciples to think like a new creation, to see things like a new creation, to flow with the Spirit of God like a new creation, and to minister the kingdom. Because the dominion of the kingdom in the eternal realm has always been. There's never been a time when it didn't have dominion. Okay? It just didn't have it in the earth because it got sold. But those days are over. Everybody say those days are over. Those days are over. Not only do you have the second member of the Godhead next to the Father, but you've got the Son who is a man. One of us. John saw him in his original glory, the way he showed himself to Ezekiel. From the loins down, it was like fire. From the loins up, it was like fire. You know, you see that throne that there's rivers of fire flowing out of it. Can I ask you one question? How in the world is sickness, disease, infirmity, anything that's wrong going to stand in the presence of that Jesus? Or that throne? Or that glory? Well, that was Jesus, and we're not Jesus. Really? Father, the glory that you've given me, give to them. That's why Paul said, look, let me teach them about the kingdom. We don't look at people after the natural man. Don't look at yourself after the natural man. In fact, we don't even look at Jesus after the natural man. Why? Because the Jesus of the natural man is so much diminished than the Jesus that is right now. I don't give a rip if the best the world's got in disease is things completely missing, or cancer. Everybody in the world, ooh. You mean to tell me that stuff's going to stand in the face of the Jesus in Revelations and the Jesus in Ezekiel and the throne in Daniel and go blue, 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 and stand there and survive? I don't think so. That glory that Jesus had then and showed himself in Revelations is exact same glory that in the answer to Jesus' prayer put inside of you. Paul called it the treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So stop focusing on the earthen vessel and start focusing on the glory that's in you because Jesus put it there because he asked Father. And how many know his prayers always get answered? So I don't give a rip what you're standing in front of in your lifetime, what disease, what infirmity, what deficiency, what it is. It has to bow its knee to the glory of God. Because that's the Jesus that's back in this kingdom. Not the guy that was in the flesh suit here. Now, he still has a flesh suit, yeah. But why did he appear again in Revelations? We gotta have a place of origin to relate to. That's the Jesus that backs the kingdom that we're supposed to be saying the kingdom of God is here. Go over to man, I got so much stuff I want to show you. I just can't do it all today. Go over to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Okay, Daniel 4. Look at verse 25. He's given an interpretation to a dream. But I want you to don't get lost in the interpretation, but notice what he says. We're talking about the kingdom of God. How many know the kingdom of God is here, and it's now. And he says in verse 25, he says that you be driven away from mankind. Now he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar was going to come to a point where he's going to lose his mind. It was rather remarkable what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Here's a Iraqi ruler. An Iraqi ruler that met the God of Daniel. And exactly what was told to him in his dream. I mean, can you imagine this? Think about this. God loved Nebuchadnezzar enough to tell him what was going to happen. You ever thought about that? He loved him enough to tell him what was going to happen. And Daniel interpreted. I mean, he told him, you know, he shows him a statue and the head is of gold. And he says, oh, by the way, this is you. That's kind of unchurch-like. Because we don't want people to think that they're all that. I'm being facetious, obviously, but he says, okay, you had this dream and you're gonna lose your mind and you're gonna become like a beast and you're gonna lose your kingdom for a point in period of time and you're gonna crawl around on the ground and eat grass. And the dew of the morning is going to rest on you because you're going to be like an animal. And this happened like 12 months later. Exactly what was told to him happened to him. And so Daniel's explaining that. He says in verse 25, he says that you'll be driven away from mankind and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. And you'll be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. The Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. I'm going to say that again. The Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. Do you understand that when Jesus came into the earth, he brought that rulership over mankind, he brought it with him. Because that which ruled over mankind was the dominion of darkness. But Daniel is saying the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and you could say this, he's ruler over the realm of mankind and that which rules over mankind. Isaiah 25 brings that out. Okay, so the Almighty, or you could say the kingdom of God, is has dominion over the realm of mankind. Where do we live? We have dual citizenship. We live in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom. The kingdom is in us. But we live on this planet, this ball called earth. So what's in you, the kingdom, has dominion over the realm of mankind. Right? And then go on, look at verse 26. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump, talking about the tree, which was his kingdom. We're going to get into that in future weeks. The kingdom is represented by mountains and it's represented by trees. So he's talking about another particular facet of the dream. And he says, angels showed up and said, chop the tree down. That was in reference to the Babylonian kingdom and the greatness of that kingdom. And so in verse 26, it says, in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. We got to get shirts. Heaven rules. But where's heaven? Where's heaven? It's in us now. Right? Heaven is in us. The Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. Think of the way the second member of the Godhead appeared to Ezekiel. Think about that throne that Daniel saw. There was flames of fire and rivers of fire flowing out from it. Let me ask you a question. You think any sickness and disease is on the same side as Jesus? You got to be dumber than a brick to think that. Why is the religion told us that, well, you know, God makes you sick sometimes, teach you things. Seriously? You must not know that throne up there that's, you know, fire, rivers of fire flowing out from it. And you must not be looking at the right Jesus, because the Jesus that showed up to John is, you know, from the loins up and from the loins down. I mean, it's like this guy's on fire, the glory of God. There's no way any disease or sickness can stand in the presence of that. And that's who Jesus is right now as I'm talking to you. Here's what's happened to human beings. And I'll close with this. You got a pretty good vision of what you have now in the kingdom? I'm telling you, meditate on these things. There ain't no disease. There ain't nothing can stand in the presence of that. That fire, that all-consuming fire, would just incinerate it. And that's the glory that Jesus said, the same glory that you've given me, Father, that I had with you before the foundation of the world, I want you to give that same exact glory. Not a dumbed down version, not a lesser version. The same glory, I want you to give it to them. It's in you. Paul said it's a treasure in earthen vessel. So let's stop looking at the earthen vessel and start focusing on what's in you. Here's what religion did. Man, this really irks me. Matthew 23, verse 13. Jesus says this about the religious system. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about people, right? It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, and it's systems, okay? The system of religion in the earth, I don't care what you call it, what your tag is, I don't care what it is. If it's being run by the mind of man, that it's not just being run by the mind of man. Did you hear what I just said? Notice what Jesus said about the religious system. He said, you are shutting off the kingdom in front of mankind. That's literally what this says in the Greek. You are shutting off the kingdom in front of mankind. You're not entering yourselves, and you're not allowing those who are entering to be going in and participating in the results of their actions. This is the system that we have allowed to tell us who Jesus is. This is the system that we've allowed to tell us who we are and who we're not. This is the system that we've allowed to tell us who God is and what He isn't anymore. And their sole purpose, those principalities and powers that are pulling those strings and giving those insights and manipulating the mind of man and of natural man. Their sole purpose is to shut off the kingdom in the face of mankind. I mean, let me ask you a question. Has the kingdom been shut off from the face of mankind? How come when Jesus was on the earth, people ran to the kingdom? Now they run away from us. Why? Because if you follow the insight and information that the principalities and powers are given to natural men, it repulses human beings. Because human beings, their roots, their origin, their very identity is in that which is the kingdom. They just don't know that. So much so that when the kingdom shows up, people will run to it. Because they know, that's where I was created to live. I want that. Tell me about that. I want to know, who is this Jesus? I want to know this guy. Not the dumb religious version. Because all that version is designed to do is shut off the kingdom in front of mankind and keep people from entering into the kingdom and participating in the results of their actions. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about the manifestation of the dominion of heaven over the realm of mankind. What did Jesus say to the disciples after he was resurrected? He said, I'm going to spend the next 40 days with you, and who knows what all he said, but one of the things he said was having to do with the infusion of the Spirit of God back into the spirit of man and back upon man so that that man will be endued with power from on high, because the dominion of heaven is over the dominion of, or the realm of mankind. So what I'm going to teach you in the next 40 days, I'm going to teach you things about this kingdom. And then you're going to go and you're going to walk in the glory that was mine, that is mine now. And you're going to tell people the kingdom of God is here. Everything that's wrong gets made right. Everything that's deficient gets made plentiful. Everything that's missing gets created. Because the kingdom of God is here. You know, I'm thankful for my upbringing, just in the fact that, you know, at least, you know, like one guy said, I got a drug problem. I got drugged to church every week. So at least I had some exposure, you know, and at least I knew about Jesus. I found out about Jesus, and I found out what he did for me, and I found out that he loved me, and, you know, those kind of things. I remember watching, you know, that old, the greatest story ever told, you know, on TV, like in the 70s when I was a little kid, you know, man. And, you know, I watched them putting Jesus on the cross, and they really irked me. I started crying. But that's all I ever knew. At least I knew that. I mean, that's good. At least I knew that. And I really believe that, you know, maybe it's a situation where in different time periods, in different ways, things are revealed by the Spirit of God because people are ready for them. But I'm so glad that I'm alive in the time period that we're realizing that the message of the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, it's said in your word, and we'll come back to it in later weeks, that it's this gospel of the kingdom that will be preached to all of the world. This gospel of the kingdom will be what's preached to all of the world. And then the end. You're sitting on the edge of the greatest days of your life, in you actually experiencing and interacting with the dominion of heaven in the realm of mankind. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Go ahead and stand up. You know, people say, well, you know, how come we've heard people say when Jesus appeared to them, he looks like a normal guy, you know, like he did when he came into the earth. Well, what do you think that would happen to them if he showed up like he showed up in Revelations? The same thing that happened to Ezekiel, man, that you'd be on your face. He had to, you know, Jesus had to speak to him to raise him up. Because he was... But that's the Jesus that's back in his kingdom. Amen. Just raise your hands to heaven. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for your son. Jesus, we're so glad that you're not some little skinny, girly looking dude. But that you're full of the glory of God. From the loins down, you're fire. From the loins up, man, it's like bright as the sun. Thank you for doing what you did for us, and thank you for giving us your glory. I ask that you'll open the eyes of our understanding and give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of that. That we'll understand what it means to be ambassadors of the kingdom and the dominion of that which is heaven over the dominion and the realm of mankind. And I thank you for that, that the heavens are open. They're not shut. I thank you that they're open. And that glory flows from the throne like water, and it flows through us and to us. And I just praise you and bless you. Father, I thank you for supernatural encounters. By the Spirit of God, I thank you for supernatural utterance and supernatural. The natural power of the kingdom flows to us. And that we see things in people that no one sees, and then we speak things to people that you see that wakes things up in them. And ignites those things that are in them that you put in there before they were born. And I just thank you for an increase in divine appointments, an increase in the flow of the gifts of the Spirit to us as individuals and also through us to others. Father, we just tell you right now in the name of Jesus, you got full right to let the rivers flow because there's nothing else we're here for. We just love you. And there's no demon in hell. There's no sickness. There's no infirmity. There's no deficiency that will stand in our presence and be allowed to stand and be established because of your glory that's in us and your glory that flows through us and your presence that is on us. And we just thank you for that. And we will walk in the reality of that and put a demand on that everywhere we go. Because we're your kids, we hear your voice, we don't follow anything else. So when we sit down at restaurants and we have a waiter, you show us things about that waiter, you show us things about that waitress, and we're able to speak those things to them, and they can become aware the kingdom of God is on you. The presence of God is on you right now. And they run to you. Thank you for the buildings, the structures, the supplies, the abundance of workers with many souls spared that we need to step into this, and we thank you for that. That we lack in no gift. Everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen. Well, go be blessed because you are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.